Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Monday, July 1st. So first off, I want to start by saying happy July to you all. Just a few days away from the July 4th holiday. The week is upon us, right? That long weekend is almost here. But happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend. No matter where you are, if you are listening here in mid-Michigan or beyond, thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. Okay, if you're like me, your head is still spinning from what we witnessed after 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. As NBA free agency officially got underway, and this was the craziest day one of free agency in any professional sport. This is what the NBA has now transformed into. The NBA owns the offseason because we can go international here and even talk about, you know, soccer and football, right? In no sport on planet Earth will you see as much drama, as much movement from team to team when it comes to that sport's respective superstars. You won't get that with any other sport than the National Basketball Association. My head is still spinning, trying to process every move that has been made thus far. And again, we're just talking about it hasn't even been a full 24 hours yet since free agency began yesterday at 6 p.m. Now, we still got 5 hours to go. There are still moves being made. Unreal stuff, folks. So today's show will be centered on NBA free agency. You'll get my thoughts on the biggest move, right? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, along with DeAndre Jordan, they are now members of the Brooklyn Nets. Absolutely ticking off New York Knicks fans everywhere from here to Pluto. The Knicks, I really thought that Kevin Durant was going to go to the Knicks, and I thought he was going to bring Kyrie Irving with him. I'll explain why I think this went the way it did and why these three are now in Brooklyn and decided to in a way, shiest the Knicks. I'll explain that. You'll get my thoughts on that. I'll give some brief thoughts on some other moves that were made, including my Detroit Pistons signing a player that was once the best guard in the league, former league MVP, Derrick Rose. Now, those Chicago Bulls years were great, right? I'm really hoping that D. Rose can turn back the clock a bit, right? We saw him last year with Minnesota actually put up a 50-point game. That was nominated at the NBA Awards for best moment. D. Rose can still score, and you'll get my thoughts on whether or not this was a good move for the Pistons, all right? So you get my thoughts on that. We will also welcome to the show, we have not had him on in a long time. His name is Diamond Leung. That name should ring a bell because he was once a Michigan State sports reporter for MLive.com here in the area. He left MLive and eventually became a beat writer for the NBA's Golden State Warriors, getting to know players like Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson pretty well. And now he lives in New York City, so he's gone from the West Coast to the East Coast. He is now in New York City as a managing editor of The Athletic. All right, so Diamond Leung is going to join us here on Current Sports. He is going to give his thoughts on the Warriors losing KD, to now his hometown of NYC and Kevin Durant going to Brooklyn. Now, that's interesting perspective, right? Beat reporter for the Golden State Warriors and now working out in New York with the Athletics. So Diamond will join me to get his thoughts, to give his thoughts on NBA free agency. And then on the back end of the show, we'll close it out with weekend winners. And you'll get my thoughts on some latest news concerning former Michigan State wide receiver Hunter Rison. And that's also in our headliners for our next segment, which we'll get to in a few seconds here. But I just want to let you guys know, phone lines are open. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can comment below the live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet me at @AlMartinWKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I want to start with some news concerning Michigan State University. A Title IX investigation by MSU did not find violations in the case of Bailey Kowalski, who earlier this year publicly accused the school of discouraging her to report on alleged rape 4 years ago by three players on the school's basketball team. This is what Emily Gerken, Garrett, said late Friday. Emily said, quote, "There were no findings in the case. A preponderance of the evidence does not support that the respondents violated the university's relationship violence and sexual misconduct policy. The investigation was completed by the school's Office of Institutional Equity last week." Kowalski's attorney told the Detroit Free Press late on Friday that her client is, quote, "disgusted by the report's conclusion and will likely appeal." So Michigan State, with this Title IX investigation, clearing these Michigan State basketball players when it comes to sexual assault. All right, and as I mentioned, I'll have further thoughts on this later on in the hour, but Hunter Rison has picked another school. That's right, the Michigan State legacy wide receiver announced on Twitter on Sunday night that he will transfer to Fullerton College out in California to play this fall. Rison spent the last year at Kansas State, but was suspended indefinitely by the program in April after being arrested for domestic battery. He announced on Twitter on June 18th that he would transfer from Kansas State without ever playing a game for the Wildcats. So the fact that Hunter is making this transfer to this JUCO out in Cali means that he will be immediately eligible to suit up and play. I'll give you some background when it comes to Fullerton College and some players that have come out of Fullerton College and had some success in the National Football League. A few other points I want to hammer home when it comes to Hunter Rison, so stay tuned for that. And as you heard, Derrick Rose will sign a 2-year, $15 million deal with the Detroit Pistons, joining Reggie Jackson as the team's point guards. Ish Smith is expected to sign a 2-year deal for $12 million with the Washington Wizards. It's also being reported that the Pistons have met with JaVale McGee. So, possibility that JaVale could also be donning the red, white, and royal blue come next year for the Pistons. Some other big free agent moves, as I also mentioned. As you know by now, Kevin Durant, now formerly of the Golden State Warriors, formerly of the Oklahoma City Thunder, he has a new team out in Brooklyn with the Nets, signing a 4-year, $164 million deal. He also brings along with him Kyrie Irving, formerly of the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving signing also a four-year deal, his deal worth $141 million. And also, Kevin Durant is really good pals with DeAndre Jordan, formerly of the L.A. Clippers. Jordan also signs a four-year deal worth $40 million. So Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, and the biggest fish of the three, KD, Kevin Durant, all members now of the Brooklyn Nets. Kemba Walker, there was a lot of speculation as to where he would be come next season, the now former Charlotte Hornets point guard. Michael Jordan loses out on him. Kemba Walker heads to Boston. That's right. He is now a member of the Celtics, signing a four-year, $141 million deal. Jimmy Butler to the Miami Heat on a sign-and-trade deal, 4 years, $142 mil. Philadelphia will receive Josh Richardson, both Philly and Miami, currently looking for a third team to take some of the cap hit of the deal. Also, an update to that, Portland looks like the third team. Hassan Whiteside to the Trailblazers for Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard. Also, Al Horford, the Grand Ledge native here in Mid-Michigan, he is no longer a member of the Boston Celtics. He heads to Philly, joining the 76ers on a four-year, $109 million deal. There was a lot of speculation as to where Al Horford would go. A lot of question marks out there. I had no idea he was going to end up a member of the 76ers. And also some updates here when it comes to the Warriors. Klay Thompson re-ups with Golden State. Five-year, $190 million deal there. And D'Angelo Russell is now a member of the Golden State Warriors on a sign-and-trade. Four-year, $117 million deal for him. And again, that is just the tip of the iceberg. There are so many other deals that have been made and are still being made. As again, we have not even touched 24 hours since NBA free agency opened up yesterday at 6 p.m. I'll have further thoughts on all of the free agency madness in just a moment. All right, Nate Lashley never lost his stranglehold on the Rocket Mortgage Classic, and he actually went wire to wire to claim his first PGA Tour victory at the inaugural event at the Detroit Golf Club, the very first PGA Tour event in the city of Detroit city limits. Lashley fired a ho-hum 2 under par 70 and finished at 25 under for a total of a 263, beating Doc Redman by six strokes. Lashley earned a little over $1 million on that winner check, plus a spot in the British Open in 2.5 weeks. And next year's Masters, U.S. Open, and also PGA Championship. Awesome stuff there as Nate Lashley. Did not predict Nate Lashley to win the Rocket Mortgage Classic this weekend. Not many did, right? Probably other than his family members. All right, closer Shane Green of the Detroit Tigers has been named as an all-star for the first time in his career after a nearly flawless start to the 2019 season. So there is some good that has been happening for the Detroit Tigers, at least concerning Shane Green. The 30-year-old right-handed reliever, who has posted an ERA of .87 and 22 saves in 31 innings, will be the Detroit Tigers' lone representative in Cleveland come July 9th. But here's the bad news. In his first start as an opposing pitcher in Washington, D.C., facing the Nationals, the team he established himself in the major leagues with, Jordan Zimmermann faced right-hander Max Scherzer, who was on a mission. Scherzer made history that day at Nationals Park, striking out 20 Detroit Tigers in a Nationals 3-2 win. Scherzer struck out 14 batters over 8 innings of 1-1 baseball, earning the win in the Nats' 2-1 victory over the Tigers in the series finale. Zimmermann put up a fight, throwing solid 6 innings for a no decision. So the Detroit Tigers' woes continue. And the United States women's national soccer team beat France 2-1 in their quarterfinal match at the FIFA World Cup on Friday. Megan Rapinoe, she scored both goals for the United States, which took control early with a goal in the 5th minute. Rapinoe, a former University of Portland star, scored on a free kick that skirted past everyone and into the net midway through the second half. She struck again, scoring easily on a right-footed shot after a cross from Portland Thorn star Tobin Heath. Team USA will face England in the semifinals tomorrow at 3 p.m. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment below the live stream. And if you're feeling froggy, again, give us a call, man. I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from you guys when it comes to NBA free agency, maybe thoughts on Derrick Rose becoming a member of the Pistons, or any of the crazy moves that have been made in the NBA. All right. You can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. At least shoot me a follow if not. Or you can even tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's keep it pushing.
I'm just trying to just hold it together, you know? Lifelong Knick fan. Years of mediocrity. I thought this was going to be it at least weeks ago. And then, you know, when I was doing First Take and we were in Oakland and I got word about Kyrie in Brooklyn. Realizing that that meant KD in Brooklyn. Realizing that the New York Knicks were going to go without anything. $70 million in cap space. Porzingis gone. Porzingis can't be gone. And we don't get KD. And we don't get Durant. And Kyrie, rather. No way. This can't happen. This can't happen. But it happened. The New York Knicks. With KD on the market, Kyrie on the market, Clay, Kemba, Jimmy Butler. They can't get somebody to come to Madison Square Garden. But because Brooklyn's got Sean Marks, and because Brooklyn's got Kenny Atkinson, and because Brooklyn has Live Nation, and then Brooklyn, in 3 years, the Brooklyn Nets have accomplished what we've been waiting for the New York Knicks to pull off for a half century. And more specifically, in 20 years, in the last 20 years, this is what they pulled off. This is what they pulled off.
Ah, yes, the always animated and emotional Stephen A. Smith of ESPN. One of the biggest New York Knicks fans that you'll ever meet alongside Spike Lee, right? And New York Knicks fans everywhere are disappointed because, man, and I really feel bad for the Knicks. I can't even lie. I really thought that Kevin Durant was going to go to New York, not Brooklyn, New York. But to the Knicks, the New York Knicks. But KD, Kyrie Irving, and DeAndre Jordan had other plans. And I'll explain why I believe those three decided to go to Brooklyn. And I'll start here. Because that was the biggest move. Let's just address it. We all knew that Kevin Durant was going to leave the Golden State Warriors. I mean, if you just watch, if you have been paying attention and watching Kevin Durant's social media feeds. He is incredibly sensitive. And, you know, he felt some type of way, especially in the early rounds of the playoffs when Kevin Durant was sitting out due to injury. When he got injured later on in the playoffs, he saw the tweets and he saw the takes out there from people saying that the Golden State Warriors don't need you. You're just an added piece to an already great team. In fact, as that series went along, though, against Toronto, and we saw how much the Warriors did, in fact, need Kevin Durant. They are a totally different team without him. And it's not like the Warriors bought into that mess. You know, I can go back to the players who were asked about it, like Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala. And, you know, they were asked about the chatter that some people out there thought that this team was better without Kevin Durant. And they just kind of scoffed at that nonsense. And Kevin Durant coming back when he didn't need to. And I say need based on his personal health. He should not have come back, but he did because he's a competitor, and I feel like he had something to prove to those naysayers, those that question his competitiveness and his love for the game. He went out there, now has a torn Achilles. And I always felt like, you know, Kevin Durant became public enemy number one. He lost a fan, and he right here, when it comes to my fandom of the NBA, he lost a fan when he decided to go to Golden State because that was a cop-out move. It was a move to try and get an easy ring. He went over there. He got two rings. Whoop-de-doo. But there's always going to be an asterisk next to those two rings because you had to go to the league's best team in order to get that ring. When, in fact, before you did make that move, now we all know the story. He had a 3-1 series lead over the Golden State Warriors, and you coughed it up. But when it comes to, you know, why this move is made, Kevin Durant cares about his legacy so much. He's a legacy guy. You know, he wants to go down as one of, if not the best in the league, in league history. You know, he won't reach that feat. We all know that. But he's a competitor. That's how Kevin Durant thinks. And he knows that in order for his legacy to come full circle and for people to really give him the respect that he deserves, he needed to leave the Golden State Warriors and carve out his own championship glory away from the league's best team. So that is why we all knew. And if you felt otherwise, you were lying to yourself. That is why we all knew that Kevin Durant had to leave the Dubs. We just didn't think that Brooklyn was going to be the destination. And the reason why Brooklyn became the destination, well, I'll tell you, it's two reasons here. Number one, the New York Knicks ownership is an absolute laughingstock. You know, Jim Dolan does not know what he's doing. Jim Dolan is one of the most least respected, if not the most least respected, upper exec in the NBA right now. He has no idea how to run an organization. He has no idea how to treat fans. We all remember the whole situation with Oakley as well. I mean, I could go on and on and on. He doesn't know basketball. I don't know how in the heck he got the job in the first place. But when you have that kind of reputation as an upper exec in the NBA, what kind of player is going to want to play for you? And I also, Scott Perry. I'm not a big fan of Scott Perry. Scott Perry has absolutely no idea what he's doing as well. I mean, the New York Knicks are not just a laughingstock on the hardwood, but they are a laughingstock when it comes to who is running and managing the team. So if you have bad ownership, that's a red flag. And I'm sure that tips off these big-time players' agents as well. And as an agent, you don't want to put your player in a bad position, especially if that agent does not feel like the management of that said team is going to do your player a disservice. So that's number one. But you know what? Number two as well, the second reason why KD decided to go to Brooklyn was because of the injury. You know, that had a lot to do with it. According to many reporters out there, I was actually listening to basketball insider Chris Broussard early this morning. And he says that, and this also got leaked, and I kind of went off when I saw this. I actually, you know, to show you how big of an NBA nut I am, I watched the entire, like, five-hour special that was on ESPN2, hosted by Rachel Nichols and NBA The Jump, and she had everybody, you know, like Ramona Shelburne, Brian Windhorst, Stephen A. Smith, he chimed in a bit as well. Matt Barnes was on the broadcast. I mean, I could go on and on and on. It was like 5 hours long, and I watched just about every minute of it, with the exception of maybe 20 minutes when I went out to walk my dog. That's how obsessed I was about this yesterday.
You see Matt Barnes about the Knicks?
Yeah,
oh,
Matt
my
Barnes.
God. That had me cracking
up. I tell you what, though,
up.
Matt Barnes is a really good analyst. I didn't know he was that good on TV.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's entertaining.
He's really good on TV. I had no idea Matt Barnes is that good on TV. That was my first time really getting a chance to check him out. But number two reason was the injury, and this is what they were saying. And Ramona Shelburne tweeted this out, actually, during that show yesterday. She took a break from the broadcast because they had so many that were a part of that ESPN2 special. And she tweeted out, quote, "The Knicks and owner Jim Dolan were not prepared to offer Kevin Durant a full max contract due to concerns over his recovery from the Achilles injury. Knicks officials are in Los Angeles tonight meeting with free agents such as Julius Randle." Now, I went off when I read that tweet and when that was reported by Ramona Shelburne, because why even make that public? Why even, if you felt that way, why did you feel the need to make that public and put that out in the atmosphere? The reason why we did not, you know, offer KD a max was because we are concerned about the injury. First off, you know, I understand that there's a risk when it comes to KD and this Achilles injury, but I feel like in 2019, with advancements in medicine now, and seeing how players recover from what was once career-ending and career-jeopardizing injuries such as a torn ACL and a torn Achilles, I feel like KD can make a recovery. And I am willing, if I am the New York Knicks, who have been irrelevant for a long, long time, I am willing to at least offer KD that max and at least gamble on him coming back to regular KD dominance. Because that's a better play, and that's also what you promised and sold your fan base on all year. And you don't decide to take that gamble. Are you kidding me? What do you got to lose, Knicks? What do you got to lose, Jim Dolan? What do you got to lose, Scott Perry? So the fact that you had to put it out there in the public shows to me that you tried to cover yourself and give your fans a valid reason, but there is no valid reason to cover that up. You don't need to make that public. The optics look really, really bad when you make that public. And it just, if anything, it just ticks your fan base off even more. But also, listen to Chris Broussard. Back to my original point, Chris Broussard said that because of the KD injury, and KD wanted to play with Kyrie Irving, and he wanted to play with his good friend DeAndre Jordan, that in talks with KD and Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant said, "Hey, man, let's go to the Knicks." Kevin Durant wanted to play for the Knicks, according to multiple people, including Chris Broussard, who has a pretty good finger on the pulse of the NBA. He said that Kevin Durant said, "Hey, I want to go out to New York and play, but Kyrie Irving is looking at things," and apparently Kyrie Irving is a longtime Knicks fan. He had like season tickets growing up with his dad, so there's more of a personal connection to the Nets than the Knicks when it comes to Kyrie Irving. So you had Kevin Durant saying, "Hey, Kyrie, let's go to the Knicks," and you had Kyrie Irving say, "Hey, KD, I don't want to really go to the Knicks. I want to play for the Nets. Come with me and let's play for the Nets." And eventually, Kyrie Irving had more leverage in the situation because we won't see Kevin Durant play at all next season because of the torn Achilles. He's going to be out for a year. So that's not fair to Kyrie Irving, right? Kyrie Irving is basically looking at things and saying, "Well, man, hey, you're not even going to be playing next year. You know, when we team up, I'm going to have to man the ship alone. So I should have more leverage in this. Let's go to the Knicks. I want to play for the Nets. Let's go to the Nets. I want to play for the Nets. You got to sit out a year. Is that fair to me? Let's go here." So that's apparently what was being reported. And now the New York Knicks, that basically gave up everything, right? They really did, you know, trying to make room for this huge, huge splash in NBA free agency. And yet they strike out. You know, they traded Kristaps Porzingis, the franchise's best asset in decades. Anticipating all of this coming together. You know, and they also had, you know, the best odds of landing that number one overall pick as well, right? Well, we see how that worked out. Pelicans get the number one pick. Yep, they get the number one pick. Zion Williamson goes to New Orleans and not the Knicks. They lose out there. And again, they sold everything. You give up your best asset in decades in Porzingis, anticipating that it's all going to come together and the Knicks are going to be relevant now. KD's going to come over here, and it does not work out. You know, Jemele Hill tweeted out, and I had a chuckle when I saw it. You know, she tweeted out, okay, whoever has the New York Knicks voodoo doll, please stop sticking pins in it right now. This ain't funny no more. Whoever has the New York Knicks voodoo doll and is torturing that thing, please stop it. This is getting crazy. So I feel bad for New York Knicks fans and the Brooklyn Nets, a team that has not been relevant in a long, long time. They had a great year last year, though. I got a chance to actually see D'Angelo Russell. I told you the story when I went down to go visit my mom in Florida, and we went and got some cheap tickets to go check out the Miami Heat and Brooklyn Nets, and I saw D'Angelo Russell just go on a tear. He had something like 32 points that night. But still, the Nets haven't been relevant like this. They are now a legit contender when KD comes back. What's unfortunate about this is that we are going to have to wait at least a year until we see those three play together. Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, and Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant with this whole Achilles situation. I still think the Nets can at least make the playoffs when you have a talent like Kyrie Irving and those other pieces of that roster, but it's a bit unfortunate that we have to wait a year for this. But wow, I didn't see that coming. I did not see that coming. A lot of these moves, I did not see coming. All right, this is our first break. When we come back, we will chat with a man who knows the Golden State Warriors pretty well. He is a former beat reporter for the Warriors, former local reporter here in the area for MLive.com, and now the managing editor at The Athletic. Diamond Lee Young will join the conversation, and we'll get his thoughts on the crazy, crazy, almost 24 hours that has been free agency in the NBA. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We are talking NBA free agency today and what was the most craziest. That was the craziest opening of free agency that we've seen in professional sports here in America. That was insane. Never before have we seen a day one like that in free agency in professional sports. It's amazing what the NBA has become. I mean, it's like, it really is like a soap opera. It's like All My Children, man. It's crazy. It is insane. Behind the glass today, engineering this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, Connor Mathis. A quick update. You got a quick update for us, Connor. What is it?
Yeah, so according to Mark Spears of The Undefeated, a source close to Kevin Durant said he felt disrespected by the Warriors. Here's the quote. When asked about all the negative things that had transpired with Durant and the Warriors over the past year, a source close to Durant said, all that showed a lack of respect for one of the greatest players to put on a uniform, and the fact that he took all the abuse and still put his career on the line to help them win.
Disrespected how? Does it give me specifics? It says he felt disrespected.
It doesn't say, but if I had to, take a guess, it probably is a combination of the, we can win without you, the beef that he had with Draymond early in the year.
Okay,
that's why I would lead to believe when he's talking about disrespect.
Well, again, I feel like the players had KD's back, at least in the media. You know, I would watch these press conferences, and Klay Thompson was asked about, oh, are the Warriors better without KD? And I would hear Steph Curry weigh in on it and is asked that same question, and even Draymond, and they would say, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Kevin Durant is one of the best players, if not the best player in the league right now. We need him. We are a much better team with him. So I don't know about
the
that.
The other thing, too, is I do remember when he went down, they had that real – I can't remember if it was – probably against Portland when he went down with the calf injury, where they had that really good first game or something. And I think across the board, every single one of those guys you mentioned, yeah, they said that we're better with KD, but all of them are like, wow, this is so much fun. We're going back to this. We're having a lot of fun with this. And I think that maybe was misinterpreted by Durant, but I mean, that's just all speculation at this point. I mean,
well, if he tripped about that,
yeah.
We all know Kevin Durant is very sensitive. He's very, very, he's a great player, but man, is he like Charmin. He's soft sometimes, right? So I don't know if he interpreted that to mean something else. Come on, brother. We never know. You just never know. These players, I tell you, the NBA is like, you know, it really is like a soap opera. It's like reality TV. It's like Love and Hip Hop or All My Children. It's just drama, and it entertains the heck out of us. It's amazing. It is truly amazing, Connor, to witness what NBA free agency has become, and I think it has its roots in the decision with LeBron James.
I'm so glad they moved the moratorium to 6 p.m.
I am, too. It makes it more fun.
It was wonderful.
I didn't have to lose sleep last night.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. Yeah.
All
it was
right.
Great.
Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. You guys know this name, Diamond Leung, former local Michigan State sports reporter who took his talents to the Bay, covering the Golden State Warriors, a former beat writer for the Golden State Warriors, covering the Golden State Warriors. And he is now out in New York as a managing editor for The Athletic. Diamond Leung, welcome to Current Sports. Diamond, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Al. How are you?
Always good. It's been a long time since we talked to you, and it's always great chatting with you. And I first want to say, I think since the last time we talked, to show you how long it's been, I think you've gotten married, and now you have a baby, right?
I know. She's screaming in the background, but no, things change quickly, as they do in the NBA as well.
they certainly do. Congratulations, my man. So I wanted to say that first off. And now I want to get your thoughts on what has taken place. Again, Diamond, we're not even 24 hours into, you know, the opening of free agency. It opened up 6 p.m. last night, and like you heard me say, I think it's the craziest opening that we've ever seen in free agency when it comes to any professional sport in America. What have been your takeaways to what has transpired?
Crazy indeed. Not a lot of sleep for a lot of reporters, obviously, but just the shock of the Warriors being dismantled, from one day to the next, and D'Angelo Russell ending up on the Warriors. It's a lot of things are stunning out here. And then from where I am, New York, throughout the season, I think a lot of people would have thought that, oh, maybe Kyrie and KD head to the Knicks, and, you know, they want to play in the Mecca. And then things change, and, you know, the injury happened, and all of a sudden there was momentum being built in Brooklyn, and the Nets make the playoffs, and now here we are. And it's stunning, I think, because of kind of the short history that the Nets have with Brooklyn. This is a franchise that really, I think, has been searching ever since that disastrous trade to build its fan base and build some momentum and add some star players, but they've been unable to draft anybody. And now to kind of pull this off, when you have the Knicks in your backyard, I think is just incredible.
It is really incredible. The Nets came out of nowhere. And before I get to, your thoughts on the Nets and this move, I want to go back to your days at Golden State just briefly here. And I want you to kind of read the tea leaves as to what has happened out in Golden State now with KD leaving. And I believe that the dynasty is now over. They also, you know, as I mentioned in the headliners, Andre Iguodala, they shipped him. He is now in Memphis now with the Grizzlies. From your time covering this team, you know, you were right there in the glory days and this dynasty really forming and taking shape, and seeing where this franchise is now. What do you make it? Even that report that, you know, that Connor Mathis, our engineer for today's show, just read about, you know, KD feeling disrespected. What do you make of all of that and just how this team has evolved to where it is now?
You know, during my time out there, I didn't get a chance to cover Kevin Durant. But what I did see was kind of the beginnings of that first championship team form. Through that first championship. And mm-hmm. I think what I did see was just how the entire franchise, the entire area is just so smitten with Steph Curry, right? I mean, here's a guy that, you know, battled through so many injuries, kind of put the franchise on his back and became somewhat of a surprise superstar. You weren't quite sure when he was drafted. You weren't quite sure even in those first 2 years. And all of a sudden, he just kind of made this leap, and everybody just really fell in love with him. And I think, you know, just, you know, I think when they added Durant, you know, there was so much criticism, you know, thrown toward Durant's direction. And, you know, they won championships, no doubt. They had a lot of success together. And I think at the end of it, you know, you saw, and I don't think anybody can argue this, but Kevin Durant is a sensitive guy. He cares a lot about what's being said. You know, has this idea that there will be a legacy to kind of help uphold in his mind. And I think, you know, what that story references is you know, kind of not wanting to play that second fiddle. You know, maybe that can be termed that he felt disrespect. Maybe it can be seen as something else. But I think in the end that he probably understood that this ultimately was Steph's team, and perhaps he wanted to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Diamond. And I want to ask you this, my man. When looking at this team and what it looks like, you know, Klay Thompson has re-upped, but, you know, we probably won't see him until maybe March with this whole torn ACL situation. Do you think the Warriors dynasty is over? Is it done?
You know, I don't think we're quite ready to bury them. I think when they still have three of the foundational pieces. Now, they're not getting any younger, no doubt. But they, you know, once I think for next year is going to be tough. On the other hand, once Klay does come back, you still have the so-called Splash Brothers. Many believe it, you know, is the best backcourt, you know, perhaps in history. Then you have D'Angelo Russell, and, you know, he perhaps could be, you know, a piece that could be traded for something else. And, you know, it'll be very intriguing to see how he plays alongside Curry next year. But, yeah, I would not totally give up on them yet. And, you know, this was a team that kind of was built, you know, on its culture. And, you know, it wasn't kind of designed to be this whole star-stacking thing at the start. And now they've gotten that label during the past few years. But I think, you know, if you strip it all away, they still have shooting. And now it's just about what their front office can do to kind of bolster that lineup.
Yeah, I think that the Warriors are still going to be players. But and I think we can both agree, Diamond, though, that the dominance, you know, we were legitimately debating, you know, Golden State Warriors or the field. You know, I think that dominance is kind of shifted in a way, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think you know, the as you know, the NBA race is wide open next year. I don't even know if the Warriors are quite in the championship discussion anymore, which is already stunning to say.
Yeah, but, and we're looking at Vegas odds right now, Diamond. I'm looking at the odds, and they actually have the LA Lakers number one, and maybe Vegas know something that we don't know when it comes to this two spot. The Milwaukee Bucks are two, and then at three are the Golden State Warriors. So that's how it looks right now. And the Lakers being the favorites, I think maybe Vegas is trying to cover its tail, hoping that Kawhi Leonard makes the decision to go to L.A.
Right. Also, people like betting the Lakers in general. So.
Right. They do. Very true. Okay. The finger on the pulse out in New York. You being out in New York now, and, you know, when this move was made, I'm curious to know what conversations have been like, in your view, when it comes to this move. And how many Brooklyn Nets fans are out there in NYC, Diamond?
You know what? You know, and I don't live in Brooklyn. I live in Manhattan. But
right.
You know, I walked out on the street. The first thing I saw was a Nets jersey, and I have never, ever once seen that. Never. And, you know, it's kind of not really a discussion point. You know, even, you know, obviously, you know, they had a tremendous playoff run in terms of getting to the playoffs. And you know, that kind of opened some eyes. I think more among NBA observers. But I would say in town, yeah, you know, you saw some increased interest. And, you know, there's certainly a passionate kind of fan base that was existing here from some fans from the New Jersey era. Some new and younger fans, you know, from that Brooklyn area. But yeah, by and large, it's kind of more of a team that, you know, is kind of a mystery from people within its own city. And you know, now everybody will know, because that's where, you know, New York is about its stars, and the Knicks don't have them, and now the Nets do.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Do you think that the Knicks can ever be relevant? Maybe in the next, I don't know. I'll give it a window of 3 to 5 years. Do you see that happening, Diamond?
You know, they would have to make they would have to build up for another splash. Mm-hmm. You know, in free agency, and you know, can they get Giannis? And I think it does all come down to culture, right?
Right.
You know, if they can possibly, you know, develop their young players, whether it's Kevin Knox, whether it's RJ Barrett, and get some momentum there and start building a winning culture, kind of build some confidence within their front office and maybe their ownership, you know, we'll see. But I think they have to start there in terms of what goes on the court. And, you know, when you're the worst team, hey, we get it. You might be tanking, you might be getting the pick, but it's not a good look to win 17 games. It's just not.
And that doesn't necessarily guarantee that you
view the team.
Yeah, and well, like you said, Diamond, also it doesn't necessarily anymore guarantee that you get that top spot in the NBA draft, right?
Exactly. You're exactly right. And, you know, once the ping pong balls went a certain way and they didn't get Zion, that was another big blow. And, you know, at the same time, that's where they do have to start. Hey, you can't just wait for that ping pong ball to drop your way. You've got to develop RJ Barrett, right? And I think it starts there. Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, you know, they do have some young pieces who could possibly develop. At the same time, you also have concerns about ownership, concerns about just a long, you know, frustration, you know, that's kind of cast itself over this franchise. And can they get out of it? Well, remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, Diamond. Well, before we get you out of here, man, I got to know, how are you liking the move from the West Coast to the East Coast now? How are you loving NYC, man?
Oh, the winters are cold for sure, but not as cold as Michigan.
Right, so, exactly, right.
So, yeah, it warmed up a little bit for me, I guess. But, no, it's been fun living out here. And, you know, just the as you probably experienced, the energy of the city is like nothing else, so.
Yeah, well, that's what I love more so about New York, because, you know, New York and L.A., those are my two favorite cities. And what I love about NYC is also, Diamond, the culture. There's so much culture. That's the melting pot of the world, really, out in New York, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, they probably wanted some of those players to be at 33rd and 7th in Madison Square Garden. It just didn't happen this time. But, you know, it's a great, great city. And, you know, let's see now if they move over to Brooklyn and check out what's going on over there.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much again, folks. Diamond Leung, former Michigan State sports reporter here in the area, also former beat writer for the Golden State Warriors covering them, and now the managing editor at The Athletic. Thank you so much, Diamond. Keep up the great work, man, and congratulations again.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it. Take care, Al.
All right. You got it, man. Okay. Can you believe that, Connor? Just Brooklyn, just fake. I'm pretty sure that was a fake Brooklyn Nets fan donning a jersey the day. I thought about, because you've seen me wear this, I thought about wearing my Brooklyn Nets hat on the show today, but I'm like, that'd be so fake. I've had that hat, though. I've had that hat since, like when the franchise first got announced that they were going from New Jersey to Brooklyn, I bought that hat because I thought, oh, that's really cool.
And I mean, the merch looks really good. So maybe someone just got inspired.
Exactly. And you know what? I hate the Golden State Warriors so much. I bought a hat before KD went there. I have not worn that hat since the day Kevin Durant announced that he was playing for that team. So I may put that like on eBay or something like that, have somebody buy it. I don't know. But yeah. How about that?
Souvenir to remember the dynasty.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Well, now that KD is gone, maybe I can start rocking my Golden State Warriors hat now. I don't know. That'd be kind of fake, though. Yeah, probably not. You're right. Okay, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have weekend winners for you. Also, we haven't talked about the other huge fish, Connor, in this whole market, Kawhi Leonard, and where he will go. He's taking his time. He has not announced where he will go. I'll tell you where I think he will end up. I'll also weigh in on Hunter Rison, former wide receiver for the Michigan State football team, playing JUCO ball next season. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A few comments coming in. Ben comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and says, Al, we will take your Golden State Warriors hat off your hands. I may have to take you up on that offer, Ben. No, it's in good shape. Again, I haven't worn it in years because I've been so disgusted. Every time I watched the Warriors on television, I was so disgusted with the Kevin Durant move. I may take you up on that, Ben. That hat may be yours, my friend. Also, I'm getting some questions here. What's going on with Boogie Cousins? That's a good question, Connor. I think that, you know, now that they have D'Angelo Russell and the contract that they're signing him to, they're going to let go of Boogie, are they?
They have to. There's no money.
There's no money left. And Kevon Looney as well.
Kevon Looney's probably the latest I saw on Kevon Looney was that the Celtics are really, really high on him. And I was actually watching NBA TV, and they were saying that Boogie is, again, playing the waiting game and seeing what teams, like, whiffed on their targets and going. I mean, he's a talented player, but you have another season where he only plays 30 games and injured. I mean, he's not going to get that star contract again, I don't think.
No, I don't think either. That's the thing. He's injury prone, and that's starting to really bubble.
And it's all lower leg injuries as a big man. You can't have that.
No, you can't. So, and that's the worry I have for the Warriors next season as well. I mean, because you're going to lose Cousins. You're going to lose Kevon Looney. It's like, all right, you need some big man depth. You know what I mean? You need somebody to come in and play that quote-unquote power forward slash center role. I don't think there's really even a true center in the league anymore. But they need some size, and that's something they're going to be lacking unless they make a few moves here. When it comes to Kawhi Leonard, man, I hate Twitter sometimes. I hate Twitter. I thought that Woj had tweeted yesterday, Connor, that Kawhi Leonard. Did you see what I did?
Oh, did you see that? I didn't see it. My roommate who follows you saw it. He's like, Al bit on a fake Woj. I'm like, no way.
He called me out.
Oh, yeah. No, he took a screenshot of it because deleted it and he sent it to me. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Monday's show's going to be fun.
I bit on it, man. I'm not afraid to call myself out when I make a mistake. And then sometimes I get too cautious because you just know there's so many people tweeting that sometimes you just look and you're like, oh, man, look at that. And you get excited.
Gotta read the ads, Al. You gotta read the ads. Well, he didn't even try to fake it. It was Woj. He didn't even like mess it up. Come on now.
And he had
Al.
His picture in there. I just look at the picture like, oh, snap. Woj is tweeting this. And you know who also called me out? Who was it? Let me see if I can find him. Nathaniel Bott also called me out. He's a sports reporter for LSJ Sports. And he's like, Al, always look for the blue check mark. Always look.
Just look at the ad. It's right next to the picture.
I was doing stuff. Goodness gracious, Al. I was watching TV, and I saw it. This fake account tweeted it. Oh, Kawhi Leonard is signing with the Lakers. In all reality, though, I do believe that Kawhi Leonard is going to go and play for the Lakers. Is that the right move? I'll explain why I don't think that is the right move for the Lakers come next season. But I do believe, you know, Kawhi Leonard, it looks as though, according to some pretty reputable people out there, he has had multiple meetings, not just one, multiple meetings with Magic Johnson. And members of Kawhi's camp have also chatted with Magic as well. It's so funny because Magic, I mean, you can't find the Lakers for tampering now because Magic is not employed with the Purple and Gold anymore. So Kawhi can have 1,000 meetings with Magic Johnson. It does not matter. And don't get me started on tampering. I think that the league needs to do away with the whole tampering fines, but that's another story, another debate for another day. So I think Kawhi is leaning towards L.A. I think he's going to go and play for the Lakers. And I also think that's why, as I stated with Diamond, that's why the odds are so great and the Lakers are favored to win an NBA championship. And you know, what's so interesting about this whole situation with free agency in the league now, I think that now, this upcoming year, Connor, we are going to see the NBA have more parity than it's had in the last 5 years.
I'll take it a step further. I don't think the league's ever been this, you know, this
been
evened
this wide
out.
Open?
Like this is I can't think of any time, because you go back to last decade and
the '90s Jordan dominated with the Bulls. The early
2000s to 2010s.
In 2010,
there was a stat that from 1998 till whenever LeBron left the Heat, the Miami Heat, the Lakers, or the Spurs were in a championship game.
Right, and then the '80s you had Magic and Bird.
70s.
Maybe the most wide open since the 70s?
Maybe.
In the 70s, you had the Knicks. You know what I mean?
You had the Knicks, you had Portland. I guess the 70s, I mean.
Then the 60s, you had the Celtics dominate.
The Celtics, yeah, they ran over everything. And then you go to the 50s, and it's still like it's a two-team race.
That's a good debate, man. This upcoming NBA season may be the season with the most. Well, I will say this. When Jordan left, even though you had the Houston Rockets win back-to-back championships.
You had the Houston Rockets, yeah.
And then. When Jordan left after 98,
Lakers, you had the Lakers and the Spurs.
Yeah,
that took over immediately.
Right. You're right; they did take over immediately. Never mind. My goodness,
This might be the most open NBA season since at least the 70s.
That's a really good point. Wow. Okay, I just need to process. I didn't even think about that. You're right. I'll have to do some research on that. We'll have to come back to that tomorrow. Okay, all right. And Hunter Rising, I'll also give an extended take on him. I want to tell you more about Fullerton. And also, you know, JUCO college, just in general, playing JUCO ball and the benefits of it. I don't think this is the last that – I don't think this is a death sentence to the career of Hunter Rising. I'll explain why on tomorrow's Current Sports. And also, I'll bring you some news concerning, I don't know if fans out there of Last Chance U on Netflix, an Independence College. Actually, the second season surrounded around Independence premieres in a few days. But an update concerning Jason Brown, former coach of Independence U. All right? But we'll see you tomorrow, folks. And as always, be easy, people.